This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Steely Dan, baby. You can say what you want. You guys can bust on me all you want. Steely Dan makes some good music.
I wasn't a big fan of his.
Them. Nice. My sister.
Have you not seen that commercial?
It's huge.
Steely what? Dan. Oh, yeah. Well, I thought you just.
It's the holidays, Barry. Don't get me criticizing
I'm
my
sorry,
family.
I'm sorry, but you just stopped at my sister is huge, and you didn't continue. So I was like, oh, well. I mean, if we're doing that, let's just. My aunt's a hope. No. I'm just kidding.
Is that the Fuchs?
No. She would be a step aunt.
Oh.
Yeah, that would be the step aunt.
Okay.
You've never seen that FedEx commercial?
Which one?
Where the guy's like, so we don't get French benefits? He's like, no. And it's not the Leaning Tower of Pizza. Steely Dan was a band, not a person. He just goes through all these things.
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's very funny. Yeah, it's a great commercial.
That would have made that joke work.
Okay.
Hey, so a while back,
we
teased the folks about a little Pro Bowl announcements yesterday.
Yeah, man.
Because those are big. Everyone wants to play in Orlando.
Huh?
I mean, it's the most ridiculously useless All-Star game. And the thing is, at least from a player's perspective, they would go because it was in Hawaii. So they could bring their family, make it a vacation. And now it's in Orlando. And it's the night before the Super Bowl. It's like, oh, joy.
People are, yeah. Well, unfortunately, the Texans won't be able to play because they'll be in the Super Bowl, bitches.
You want to bet on that?
No. So we teased it last segment, going into last segment. There are four Texans that made the Pro Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm.
Four.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm. It's his third. J.J. Watt, it's his fifth. Jadeveon Clowney, it's his third. And Bernardrick McKinney making his first Pro Bowl appearance. You good with all those?
There's one. I think there's at least one snub. Because I know that Deshaun is an alternate. They had some alternates. But even before I got on social media, I thought that the Honey Badger deserved it.
Okay.
I thought just, you know, overall, you know, he didn't miss any time. And I don't know how they factor in if it has to be all stats like tackles for loss or passes broken. But I'm just saying the way he hit, what he did to kind of give that back end of the defense an identity and a little bit more aggressive kind of, you know, a fear factor for receivers. I thought that he had a hell of a season, but that maybe that's just me.
No, I mean, that's fair. I mean, he certainly has been an upgrade for them. In that role, I don't know if I mean, there's a lot of good safeties out there. I mean, Chicago's got one in Eddie Jackson, and yeah.
You saw his response, right?
Who's the Honey Badgers?
The Honey Badger, yeah. He came out right after the actual announcements and tweeted out and said, Pro Bowl voting is officially whack. Just went through some stats and comparisons, and it makes zero sense. So he's taking it well.
So I don't have like a look. All I have is what ESPN has, which will go through like each team and who they have. I don't have a list. So I would have to go through each one of these and figure out do we know who the safeties were that made it and he didn't?
We can look up the safeties for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm guessing it's something along. I mean, did Derwin James make it? Did Jamal Adams make it?
I would think Eddie James Jackson has to make it because he had just an unbelievable year. But we can look up the actual guys that made it. But did you feel like there was any snubs that the Texans got screwed anywhere?
No, I don't know. I mean, in fact, you would really have to show me statistically why Jadeveon Clowney deserved to be in, to be honest with you.
I'm with you on that.
I just don't feel like he's had the kind of impact that you would expect a Pro Bowl caliber edge rusher / linebacker, which he's just really more. We just call it what it is, an edge rusher.
Derwin James did make it.
Okay.
Who else did you ask about?
Eddie Jackson, Chicago.
Yeah, let me see. One second.
And then Jamal Adams of the Jets.
Okay, because we'll go. Well, I'm staying in the AFC.
Yeah, for sure. No, and the one thing I found a little.
Jamal Adams made it.
Okay.
So two. So is Jamal Adams a rookie?
Yeah.
Yeah. So two rookies made it at safety. And again, I think you can say about paying your dues or whatever like that. And not that either guy isn't deserving, because I was one pumping up Adams last week. But I just think.
I think this is his second year, Jamal Adams. Yeah, this is his second year.
Okay.
The crazy thing for me that of all this, how did Aaron Rodgers make this?
I don't know. And someone wanted to think they were going to get under my skin by saying that. You're absolutely right. I don't know. I don't know that, and I don't know how Andrew Luck didn't make it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would have much rather have you could have easily replaced Aaron Rodgers with Andrew Luck, and I would have been fine with that,
because it's two different conferences.
Oh, that's right.
So you can't do that. Eddie Jackson made it as well in the NFC.
Okay.
But yeah, you can't do that.
So who was the, well, I say that's just going to take too much time to look up who the quarterback representatives were for each conference, but
Tom Brady made his 14th. See, and he didn't play well.
I was going to say, that's another one that I'm not exactly like, oh yeah, he's definite Pro Bowl. So I don't even have who the alternates were, but as far as the NFC and people being in over, I mean, damn. Did Russell Wilson make it?
I just got out of it.
Did Drew Brees? Did Jared Goff? Because that's three names.
Brees and Goff and Mahomes had to make it.
Well, I'm just talking NFC, just in front of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Brees, Mahomes, and Russell Wilson for sure deserve to be in ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
Hold, please.
Brees, Goff, Wilson. Has to be.
Well, Russell Wilson did not make it.
See, I have a problem with that.
He is an alternate. Mm. So that's one for sure. I'm with you, because I said, you know, as a sleeper pick for MVP, dude's carried the whole damn team.
Yeah.
So that's one that doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm just, it's a no-brainer on Breeze.
Right. It's funny, though. Raiders, zero Pro Bowl selections.
Well, that shows they're actually interested, in, according to Gruden, in Peterman. Mm. Well, you've already tanked enough by trading away Cooper and Mack. You're going to tell me that signing Peterman's going to put you over the top to suck? No, you've already accomplished that. You are the Pro Bowl at suck. You are the Pro Bowl of suck.
I like that.
You don't need Nathan Peterman to prove it. We believe you.
You're the Pro Bowl of suck.
God.
That's pretty good.
So you asked about Goff?
Yeah.
He did.
Okay.
So Goff and Breeze made it. In the NFC.
I wish there was just a breakdown of both sides. That would make it so much easier.
I had seen it somewhere.
All I have is this damn ESPN thing, and it's team.
It's annoying.
And you got to jump to the teams, and I don't know. That's too much work.
I completely agree with that, because I just put it in. A lot of work to get those answers for you.
Did you?
Because I had to keep going team by team logo, because they don't have the breakdown by position.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, Pro Bowl selections. Do you think there were any snubs? I'm with you on Clowney. I was like, okay, I don't really see it, but all right. But JJ certainly deserved it.
Absolutely.
And they had several. The other one that a lot of people thought was a snub was Kareem.
I would probably agree with that more than the Honey Badger.
And I believe he's an alternate.
The who? Kareem Jackson?
Kareem is. Okay. Yeah, Kareem and Deshaun, for sure, I believe I'd seen were mentioned as alternates. So at least from that perspective, that's encouraging, because I thought Kareem, especially with what we kept talking about that other people wouldn't mention as much, is his tackling. He was outstanding in the open field making tackles.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Bernardrick McKinney made it. That to me, you okay with that?
I found the rosters. I don't know. So I found just the rosters. Okay. Thank God. This was getting on my nerves.
Good thing that didn't take any time.
No, AFC rosters, quarterback, Mahomes, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady.
Two I agree with.
Yeah, the Brady one.
But who do you replace Brady with in the AFC? AFC. Deshaun?
No.
Ben?
Probably Andrew Luck.
Or Luck, right. I think Luck deserved it. Look, you just mentioned the other day how many touchdowns that people don't realize.
Yeah,
he's over
second.
40
yeah,
in touchdowns.
He's top 10 in passing yards and second in touchdowns. So,
Did you guys need me to look something up?
No, Nick, you just keep doing whatever you're doing on your list for hour number three.
Yeah, why don't you look up your songs?
Yeah, I'm done now. Bastard. That's why you've got my undivided attention.
Oh, good. Thanks.
At 2:11. Thank you.
So, yeah, thank goodness.
Appreciate you doing your homework.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Longtime producer, first-time listener. Quarterbacks in the NFC, Drew Brees, Jared Goff, and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't think Aaron Rodgers deserves it.
Again, if Aaron Rodgers is the alternate, I would have been much better with Russell Wilson making that list.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're talking about at least the first two in both conferences were right. I feel like Mahomes and Rivers in the AFC and Breeze and Goff in the NFC. They got that right.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Nick's now joined the show, so it means all three of us are present and accounted for and paying attention. So that means you can too. And if you've got something on your mind you want to get off your chest, hey, we're here for you. 713-780-3776.
You ain't got enough stamps in your passport for young H.O. International. Show young boys how to do this thing.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It's official, ladies and gentlemen. The press conference has taken place. Michael Brantley is a Houston Astro, so that's a nice addition, as we had mentioned when it happened. But Jeff Luhnow, I don't think he's done. We'll get you some audio possibly before the end of the show, as the press conference, like I said, is going on right now. But good first start for the Astros, and hopefully they press on from there and continue to get ready for next season, where they will again be one of the top three teams in baseball regardless, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I would agree.
I would as well. So we're going to have Lance Zierlein join us at the bottom of the hour here at 2:30 for a segment. So we'll catch up with him a little bit. He's been out for a while. And we know based on his really weird pattern of getting on the phone and then doing his power walking around the outside of the offices on the fourth floor, that he's back and he's looking spry.
He is quite the power walker.
Yeah. I saw this stat. I don't know if you saw this or not, but this is, and I felt for Dell on this because he's a Dolphins fan. But you talk about the epitome of being a 500 team.
Uh-huh.
Ready for this?
Okay.
Dolphins, 7-7 this season.
Right.
19-19 in their last 38 games. 23-23 in their last 46. 42-42 in their last 84. And wait for it.
Damn.
66-66 in their last 132 games. That is wallowing in mediocrity.
Yeah, that's wild.
Isn't that, though?
What are the odds of that?
That's just nuts 50%. To me. It shows you how poorly you can be, because you have to get better through the draft.
One would think.
You know, with higher draft picks because you've sucked. But no, if you just stay middle of the road, you're getting middle of the road picks and you're doing what you staying where you should be, I guess.
That's kind of wild.
I was amazed by that. I just absolutely could not believe that when I saw those numbers. I'm like, can that be right? But I guess so.
Somebody asked the question. I've got to find out who asked it. Okay. But somebody asked, can someone explain to me why Chris Jones didn't make the Pro Bowl? And it's a really good point, because from the defensive end perspective, you've got Watt, Myles Garrett, and Melvin Ingram that all made that list. And okay, I get it. But when you look at Chris Jones's numbers, dude put up what? He's got 14 sacks. He's got 37 combined tackles, which is more than or the same as Myles Garrett.
Like 10 straight games with a sack.
Yeah. He's got an interception from the defensive end position. So I'm kind of with you. It's a little puzzling. I mean, Melvin Ingram has 7 sacks. He's got the 39 combined tackles, which is only 2 more than Chris Jones does. 1 interception for 8 yards. So, I mean, the numbers would say that Chris Jones probably deserved to be in. So
I agree.
I'm not sure.
That's a snub for sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he didn't get in. Your guess is as good as mine.
Some of the guys that got into had some pretty neat stories. James Conner, after all he's been through, beating cancer, got in. And to kind of celebrate the fact that he got in, he shared with everybody. He went to the University of Pittsburgh, as did Aaron Donald. And when he found out he had cancer coming out at Pittsburgh, he shared a text that Aaron Donald had sent to him that said, "What's up, bro? I just heard the news, and I want to let you know I'm praying for you. Everybody goes through adversity, some tougher than others, but I already know you're going to bounce back stronger and better than ever. I just can't wait to see it. I'm going to be the first to tune in when you're going to look back at this one day after about 7 Pro Bowls and a couple All-Pro years and see everything that's happened to you just going to make you stronger. Going to make your story that much better. You already know if you need anything, just hit me up. Keep your head up no matter what. Stay strong. God's got you.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
And he responded going, I got two more Pro Bowls to go to start living up to that, but that's pretty good stuff right there.
That's dope.
And then the other great story is another running back, because when you look at it, and Philip Lindsay is one hell of a story. Philip Lindsay becomes the first rookie, undrafted rookie in the history of the NFL to make a Pro Bowl.
Really?
Because I said Arian Foster, but then it's the rookie.
Right.
Because Arian Foster was undrafted and made the Pro Bowl, but he didn't do it his rookie year. So he has 991 yards rushing, 9 touchdowns, the first undrafted rookie offensive player to be named to the Pro Bowl. He also has 230 yards receiving with another touchdown. Undrafted out of Colorado, and he got real emotional when he found out that he made it. He was doing a live interview and on NFL Network and actually started to tear up because he couldn't believe it. But that's a hell of a story.
That is cool.
Yeah. So those were two cool stories.
Yeah.
So those are kind of neat with the Pro Bowl. So we talked about snubs, but the guys that did make it and the fact that they appreciate it, because you need so many of these guys want to blow it off.
Yeah, it's not a big deal to them. And maybe it's not a big deal to them because it's not Hawaii anymore.
I think that has something to do with it. I really do.
Yeah, it could be. A couple news and notes from around the NFL before we move on. Mm-hmm. Chargers running back Melvin Gordon practiced at full speed on Tuesday, but according to Anthony Lynn, he is not 100% yet, but he is practicing. So that's a good sign for the Chargers as they make their push for the playoff. Steelers running back James Conner, speaking of, still rehabbing his ankle injury. Week 16 status up in the air. Hopefully, Connor's rehab work sets the stage for a productive Wednesday, Mike Tomlin said. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, Joel.
Yes.
Is having a groin issue.
Groin.
Rodgers and interim coach Joe Philbin expect him to play. They did place Aaron Jones on the IR.
I thought he was a pain in the ass. I didn't know he had a groin injury.
There you go. He's a pain
in the ass. How about
that? Carolina Panthers QB Cam Newton, basically, and I'll just summarize it. He said that he's been bothered by a sore shoulder for a while now, and that it's not getting any better, that he's tried everything, and he's certainly not making any excuses. No way.
Never.
No way. But he said it's a problem, and it probably will be for a while now. And lastly, Adrian Peterson was limited in practice on Tuesday. So there's your NFL news notes.
Okay, and on the Pro Bowl, before we get off that topic, John wants to get in here, talk a little bit about it. John, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
What up?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, Joe, let me get your comments on Lamar Miller and why he didn't make that running back slot. You know, he's had a good season. And then, man, before I go, I want to know what Barry's thoughts on this weather and that lawn outside.
Jeez. I mean, look.
My man.
Here's what I would say about Lamar Miller. I mean, we talked about him a few weeks ago where he was top five in the league in rushing. You know, he was making a push. But as we highlighted pretty significantly in the last couple of weeks, there's been a huge drop-off. They haven't been able to rush the football. And in the meantime, the two guys I just mentioned are in the AFC having unbelievable years with Lindsay and Connor. Who's the other running back, Barry? Do you have the list still? Or
I do. I will pull that up right now for you. It is... James Conner, Melvin Gordon.
I was going to say, I thought it was Philip Gordon. Yeah. And Gordon again with the team, and you know, with all the success the Chargers have had, and until he went down with an injury, he was doing it receiving wise and rushing wise, and having a hell of a year. So I don't think it takes anything away from Lamar Miller. I just think that those three guys are having extraordinary years, and unfortunately, he had a little drop off too.
Okay, he didn't ask for my opinion.
His offensive line kind of doesn't help him either. But
no.
There you go.
I wish he would ask for my opinion.
Barry, so what do you think? Let me just ask you this.
Oh, Joe, bless your heart.
Let me just ask you this in the process of going over that. What were your feelings on Lamar Miller getting snubbed by the Pro Bowl?
I think the big problem is he only had 4 touchdowns rushing right now. Okay. And that's going to limit when you look at Melvin Gordon has 9, Lindsay has 9, Joe Mixon even has 8, and he's leading the AFC in rushing. Lamar Miller, 3rd in the AFC in rushing, that's great. But with 4 touchdowns and the same thing that people were saying on text line and Twitter about Chris Jones not making it, this is also a popularity contest. Lamar Miller isn't a popular running back. He may be good. He may be 3rd in the AFC in yardage, but he's not popular. I mean, a guy like Melvin Gordon is popular. That doesn't surprise me that names like that get in there and they have lesser stats from a yardage perspective. But also, don't sell that short. 4 touchdowns isn't a whole lot from a guy with almost 1,000 yards rushing.
And what was your question? We don't have that question anymore, so we can move on. Let's move on from there. And by the way, when you're talking about it, the more significant and meaningful is the All-Pro selection. Because if you're All-Pro,
right,
then, you know, that's the one that really matters because of the way it's voted upon and you know, everybody who has a say-so in that, you take that. Because you're right, it is a popularity contest for the Pro Bowl in a lot of ways.
And
so,
one other thing, make sure...
Nick.
What?
He's going to go lawn talk, Nick. Be prepared for it.
I wasn't calling lawn talk!
Anytime you start with make sure, it's going to be like water in the summer. And I was blah, not. Blah, blah. Baloney. What were you going to say? Liar. We got to go. Hey, we've got the second half of the show coming up, and Lance Zierlein is going to join us next to talk a little bit of football and other things.
Make sure you treat for fungus because it's so wet.
Barry, the expert on fungus.
Should have just left his mic off, but it's all right.
Way to go, Nick.
You got away with it.
Got it in. You were got it in. You're welcome, John.
What?
Welcome, John.
Yeah, it was John that asked the question.
Oh, okay.
Good to have
back
you on
with
show,
the second
Joel.
Half of the show. Yeah, thanks for joining us. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, what do you know? 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on a way back Wednesday. And lo and behold, as promised, Lance Zierlein joining us now. We appreciate him, friend of the show. He claims the Blitz and his own show,
I'm
The Bench.
I'm friend of this show, too. When you guys are number one, I'm co-host of this show, too.
Funny that you didn't claim us when we were.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've been number one in our time slot like 5 months
Remind
this year.
Remind me, whenever I don't know these things, I need
those,
to know.
That's
so
normally when you're...
Too.
Treating us like second-class citizens doing NFL Network crap. Stuff and just leaving for weeks on end and you don't join us. We forgive you and still welcome you with open arms whenever you blow us off for a few weeks.
You know where I came from last week? I was an ill-timed trip to New York, considering the workload I have. I wasn't the smartest.
Was it a family venture?
No. Yeah, family. Me and the wife.
Oh, just you and the wife.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
but it's
good.
Pretty... It's pretty
Jeff Nachos?
When you have kids.
We were told to ask you about that because
hotel.
We had no idea the backstory there.
Hotel business. Yeah, nachos.
You refer to it as nachos?
As nachos, yeah, when we're making nachos. Yeah.
And, oh, my God, I'm never going to eat nachos
yeah,
again.
Yeah, is that cheesy?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's just what we like to call euphemism in the business.
Yeah.
And if you have...
With
you guys don't have any kids, right?
What are you, an idiot?
Oh, wait, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But you don't have a kid that can bother you yet.
No.
Yeah. No. So this is when you get kids to a certain age, and I feel like that age really starts at about 3.
Well, it's Taylor's not, 3.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Thank God for an iPad and a chair.
Yeah. Yeah. This is you immediately will get this. Mom, where's Mom? I'm like, "Oh my God." I'm like, "What do they
She's
hear?
Warming
do they
up
hear zippers?"
Chips.
Stage
they,
fright?
Is, they just do like this. They're sitting there. You know like those movies with the zombie
mom?
Movies?
Yes.
Like 28 weeks. So that if you make any noise. Like, or what's the movie with Jim from The Office was in also
Silent?
Jack
or,
Wright. Yeah. Whatever it was where
make
if you
a
don't
sound.
Make a sound.
Yes.
And then if you made any sound, you get attacked. It's the same exact way. And so when you go out of town to hotels, you know, whatever. But,
That's
you know,
right.
one of the things that whenever I... It's so funny. I talked to two people about Houston sports when I was there and about Texans. And then I had a text exchange with somebody who's local who he just texted me out of the blue about Bill O'Brien. And he was like, man, I got to admit, I didn't think think much of him as a coach and what he's been able to do with Deshaun and fit his offense to Deshaun and all this stuff. Real positive. And I said, I swear to you. There's nobody in Houston, it feels like, who would agree with you. Like, the national narrative and the vantage point of the Houston Texans is way different than what we have here. And so I want to ask you guys, because I wrote about this in SportsMap today. I believe there are reasons that people are not in love with that team. And I'll let you guys guess some of them. Why would you think? I put four reasons why I think that Houston is just fans aren't the typical reasons that people aren't buying into this team. What I believe
they run
to be.
The ball too much.
Well, I put that it doesn't look pretty.
It's not sexy.
It's not pretty yet.
Yeah, that's not a sexy offense.
Offensive line?
Well, y'all, not I didn't get that specific.
Okay,
mine is less specific with X's and O's, and it's more conceptual.
Okay,
I think they have wins, and I put them in quotes because I feel like that's how people treat them against,
like, they got lucky.
Dallas, yeah, Buffalo, the missed field goal against Denver, and I think that has an impact on it.
Oh yeah, because I mean, you go Jason pretty. Garrett's fourth down, you can go Frank Wright's fourth down, Nathan Peterman's interception.
You can pick and choose games that you thought could have been losses. So you don't give them credit for 10 wins. I think Bill O'Brien, I think there are a lot of people who just don't like Bill O'Brien.
I completely agree with
and
that.
It's not going to, and they can't like this team as much as maybe they want to because they just don't like the head coach and they're biased against the team. I think that's part of it. I think some people have the same issue with the Rockets, with James.
Oh, I completely agree with that too. We talked about that yesterday, that there is a hatred that people aren't in the Houston area aren't really up to speed with across the league about James Harden, and you saw it with the traveling call the other day.
Yeah, James is not, I don't think he's well liked around the league, and then even locally, some fans I think will be, although more Rocket fans are down with James, and they should be. They should be. I think, you know, I don't love the guy.
Granato turned the corner in a hurry.
Granato saw the 47-point game, and he did in a big, big way. Now, that can flip at any
Yeah, because he's poo-pooed on him a lot.
It can flip now, any second. But I try to separate the dude from the player is what I try to do.
Which a lot of people have a hard time doing.
And I get it.
So I agree with your first two or three because you said this is just not a sexy offense.
It's not. I don't think it's – they don't win pretty.
Right.
Number two, I think people have a bias against Bill O'Brien, and one thing that I don't think is fair, I think a lot of criticisms of him are very fair. One of them that I don't think is fair is that when Deshaun does something good, it's Deshaun, and when Deshaun does something bad, it's O'Brien. I don't, you know, to say, well, he's coaching him into doing this or he's doing a bad job of coaching him. Deshaun Watson has 43 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, throws for 8.3 yards per attempt. These are his career numbers. He's 13-7 as a starter. And right at 66% completion percentage. That's not like he didn't do that by himself with no help from a coach at all. Yeah. And if you think he did, then you don't know how it works. Like, Bill O'Brien shouldn't get all the credit, and Bill O'Brien shouldn't get all the blame. Deshaun shouldn't get all the credit and none of the blame. It shouldn't work. You got to take both of them.
Well, and one thing I mentioned just watching this game last week, for the first time in, well, I can remember in a while, is you started noticing Deshaun actually throwing at the blitz. Like, he was actually picking up where the blitz was coming
late
from.
Late in the game.
A couple of times specifically.
One to the tight end and one to Nuke Hopkins late. But he wasn't doing it in the same game, so it was almost like he showed some growth in game.
That's what I'm saying. It was like an epiphany. Like, halfway through, it was like, oh my God, he can actually throw at the blitz. Did he just turn a corner? I mean, there's a lot of corners to turn as a young quarterback, but that was great to see. And maybe that can't all be just it clicked for him. That's coaching. No, that's somebody pointing out, look, just throw at the blitz.
Well, y'all know how it works. I mean, look, you sit in a film room, you talk about it. A coach will install an offense. Usually offenses are installed on Tuesday. You go in and say, this is what we're doing. And then you start working on it in practices, and then you say, look, this team likes to do this. This is what they do. Here's their tendencies. When they show this, we want to do this. Like, there's so much that goes into coaching. People act like you just roll the ball out there and guys just play, and there's nothing to it. And nothing, at least not in football, nothing could be further from the truth.
Now, kind of what you were saying with Bill O'Brien, do you feel that it's a carryover, too? That's just not a sexy team. It's not a team that nationally people go, wow, there's no wow factor, because someone just called and said Lamar Miller getting – snubbed for the Pro Bowl. Well, part of it is too, is they're just not a sexy team. They're not known as a running team, a big time team, a wow team, and that hurts him.
So this is one thing I didn't include, but I think is a big factor. If you look at the Houston Astros, let me just say this one first. I put Astros and Rockets. The Astros won a World Series and raised the bar of expectations so high because they did it with ballsy play, clutch play. We had highs and lows and single games like we've never experienced before. And it was the same feeling we had when the Rockets won a championship in the mid-90s. So it was that same level of excitement. The Rockets followed that up with a phenomenal run that was a 60-plus win team. It was great chemistry. They played hard on both sides of the ball. And they were also, for the most part, a really clutch team who appeared to like each other and be one of the more likable teams that we've seen in a while. I think the Astros are incredibly lovable.
They also, the Rockets also had a built-in excuse, which helps people's likability factor because they're like hamstring away from the title.
Yep, which, you know, I think there's some truth in that. Mm-hmm. So the bar's been set by two of the other teams in the league, and so your mediocrity you've had in the past, I think, starts to work against you, and the expectations are it needs to look like a 60-win basketball team. It needs to look like a World Series wire-to-wire baseball team. And that's not how the Texans look. So I don't think people can enjoy being a 2-seed and a 10-win seed for some of these reasons. And then I do feel like if you look at the core, I was talking to my buddy from the Colts, and we were talking about how he's building a team. And I started thinking about this. So they're building a team with Darius Leonard and Quentin Nelson. These are two first-rounders. Mm-hmm. These are young core guys, a good quarterback, obviously. They've got some young guys that they're trying to build around right now, a guy named Kamiko Touré. You look at when the Astros all came up, within a few years of each other, you had Correa and Bregman and Altuve. And that whole young core came up together like they're four dudes. Mm-hmm. You see the pictures of them, kind of creepy in some instances, where they're holding on to each other and hugging, and they're super bro-y.
Yeah.
But they love each other, and they're a really likable group, and they're all in the same core. JJ is from a different time. He was from the Wade Phillips era when he was drafted. Mm-hmm. Then you got JD Clowney, who was in that down phase. You won two games before you got him. Then you got Deshaun, is kind of from a different phase. Like, you don't have and then Justin Reed is kind of the new school guy. Yeah. And then you've got, you know, but Bernardrick McKinney doesn't have a lot of, I think he's a good player. There's just not a lot of fanfare with him.
Like, Joseph and Jackson are from the
when they were down too. So
yeah. I don't feel like there's that young, electric core of young talent that have all come up together, which I also think hurts that team a little bit from a standpoint of there hasn't been a building, growing crescendo of excitement like there was with the Astros.
Yeah.
We could feel it building up, and
you could see it, you could feel it, you knew it was
there was light at the end of the tunnel. You knew, hey, we're taking our lumps now, but you see these guys, you know that they're there, you know that everybody's talking about how good they're going to be.
Exactly.
And they stuck together and they saw it through to fruition.
And look, I agree with you on all the points, but I think the one thing about the Bill O'Brien, he has nobody to blame but himself. Mm-hmm. The way that he has treated the media, the way that his public persona, whether he likes it or not, that's just going to be part of it. I mean, that's who he is, and that's going to make people not gravitate to that team because of it. That's just how it goes. I mean, if you're an a-hole in public, people, they don't like. So when you have bad games,
absolutely,
and people
think there's
that hampers your likability factor.
Well, especially when radio guys come on every day and say he's a bad play caller. People hear that, they know what he's like. And then it all comes together.
A general thing that
I think it's gotten a lot better. I don't think he's been bad play calling in weeks.
I think we know enough. I'll include everybody other than some guys who played in the league, where it's hard to just make a comment like play calling and really understand what goes into it, or whether or not guys are. I mean, you may know some of it, but it's hard to understand based on coverages and concepts and protections and all that. Like, we throw that phrase play caller out there way too liberally without knowing more. But I do think the Bill O'Brien thing, you know, it's funny. So everyone hates the media, right? Mm-hmm. No one likes the media. Media is bad. And then when Bill O'Brien, quote unquote, puts the media in their place, you would think the fans would love.
They would,
you know, in almost a Trumpian type of way, like, way to go. Right. You put those a-holes in their place. But they don't respond that way.
They get pissed at him.
Yep. Yeah. People just don't like the New England red ass thing.
Yep.
And I thought it might change because so many people love the fact that he chewed out Tom Brady on the sideline. I thought, you know, and I saw so many people say, this is awesome. We need a coach who will not take any crap from players and yada, yada, yada. And then when they deal with that guy, it's like, this guy is too mean.
Yeah.
He's too mean to people. And I don't care as much as long as you get the most out of your team and you can win. I don't care as much about the person. I'd rather you not be an a-hole.
I don't care as long as you're consistent. It's the same thing with Cam. When Cam Newton is winning, he's the darling in the media. But when he's losing, he's a pouty baby and a crybaby.
It is annoying.
And the same thing is true with Bill O'Brien. When things are going well, he ratchets up the a-hole when things are going well for Bill O'Brien. And when it's not, he's very humbled. And it's just, just be consistent. Either be an a-hole all the time or be humble all the time.
talking mad mess when they're winning, and then when they lose, he's got one word answers.
That's a good point, because Kubiak was the same dude the whole time.
The whole time.
I mean, it was monotone to the point of people just were kind of irritated by it, but the fact was, Gary was as straight down the middle as you could want. Like, nothing seemed to bother him. People, he could have taken umbrage with questions at times, and he never did.
Nope.
He was always professional. Always had a lot of respect for Gary Kubiak. I have a lot of respect for Bill O'Brien, too. But I do understand that if you are a little inconsistent with how you respond.
Yeah.
And look, he just wears it on his sleeve. If there's a bad practice, you don't even have to hear the sound. Yeah. You can get the transcripts. You can see from the first two answers what kind of practice it is.
Bill, what do you think about the fact that on 4th-and-1 you ran it right up your center's ass again?
I don't know, John.
I don't want to talk about it right now.
I don't know,
right?
John. What
9-7,
do you think?
John. We made the playoff.
That was last year.
Yeah.
What do you think I think about it?
All right, we know you got to go back to work. We always appreciate you stopping in. Hopefully you'll claim us someday like we claim you. That's Lance Zierlein. We appreciate you. Stop touching the food. You'll get your own, I'm sure. God, I'm tired of. I can tell you right now, I'm tired of. You're cut off. I have given you so much food all year, and yet you just want more.
No, I'm just waiting.
You can have that. He's not going to eat it.
Eric Sandler brought him about 10 cinnamon rolls and 100 kolaches and all this stuff. And
God,
he's like,
today?
I'm swimming in sweets.
Two of them are still sitting on his desk.
Not two anymore.
Oh, and they were 2 days old. Lance, hope those sit.
No,
well
that was Tyler. I put Tyler on one of them.
There you go.
I'll claim the quarter that was gone today. Yeah, and it is 2 days old.
They were 2 days old. Hope you microwaved it just to get a little moisture.
That was a
all right,
sad.
We'll be back with more.
That was a sad microwaving today.
ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final segment of hour number two of the show. It's The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5 will be joined by the sports mappers at the top of the hour.
What?
This song blows.
Sucks. Oh, my God.
You lose because of this song. For
yep,
sure.
You did.
How's your list coming? Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, where are we at?
You lose.
He's got a new drop just for your lists. That's only for Pac-Man Joel's list.
And yours.
Nope.
Whenever you lose that something.
Son of a... where are we at? Where are we at on reindeer antlers and red noses on cars?
Dumb.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page on that.
Flags, too.
Like American
flags? No. Like your team's flag on both
you don't
sides.
Have Packers,
on both,
you
no.
have Packers flags?
And never
on
will.
No?
But the eyelashes on headlights, those are fine.
Dumb.
Well, you have the eyelashes on your car,
no,
right?
I don't. I'm just saying.
I thought I saw... Nope. No, that wasn't yours?
Mustaches? No.
I could see that. Nick would ride around with a mustache on his grill. I could see that. And maybe had a double meaning. I don't know. Maybe. I saw one of those today and I thought, okay, that lady definitely, her name is Tammy. She works in accounting and she definitely asks for the manager when she's out. There's no doubt. If you have the red nose and the antlers on your car, you definitely are that lady. You're the accounting lady named Tammy that asked for the manager.
I've seen guys driving their SUV with that crap.
That's just unacceptable protocol. You just can't have that stuff on there. No. I mean, if you want to do truck nuts, that's one thing. But
I've seen
antlers on a dude car? It's bad enough. And then my niece, because I posted a picture of that. I was like, if you have this in your car, you definitely ask for the manager. And she was like, I was going to do this to my car. Is just garland okay? No, it's not a mobile Christmas tree. It's not. You don't decorate your car like that. That's no. And the eyelashes, the same thing. No, don't do that.
I'm with you.
Tint your windows. You know, if you just got to bro it out and put some truck nuts on there. Okay, that's fine. I don't recommend it, but that's fine. Rims, whatever. But no, that kind of stuff, I can't get down with that.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm totally against it. And like I said, I've seen guys out in Sugar Land driving big-ass SUVs with the reindeer horns on each window and the freaking big red nose, yeah. And then they're cutting people off in the parking lot. I'm like, oh, you got the holiday spirit, do you?
Speaking of holiday spirit, it's right around the corner, man, and you guys better get your act together if you have not got your gifts for the woman in your life. And if you didn't get her jewelry, take it all back and get her some jewelry. Make her happy this holiday season, and I know just the place to go. Klein's Jewelry, my guy Mark at Klein's Jewelry is going to help you look like a hero this holiday season. Isn't that right, Mark?
That's it. That's how we do it. We have all the ESPN listeners coming in every second of the day. We got two in here right now.
Nice.
One's getting an emerald and diamond bracelet, and one got a watch band, and the other one got a big 10-carat blue topaz ring. We have every single thing that you need in jewelry, whether it's diamond pendants, earrings, bracelets, anything at all. You come to Klein's, it's going to be a better deal than anywhere else in the city. And the best thing about it, you just drive up to the store, and you park right in front, and you come in. We even wrap it for you. We got a wrapping department, which is me, but I will take care of it for you. That's how we do it. It's a small store. It isn't a big store. You ain't got to go to the second floor to get it wrapped. You know, I'm going to take care of it. It's a small business. We take care of our listeners when they come in. It's the best deal in the city of Houston. If you're looking for anything in diamonds, diamond pendants, earrings, bracelets, we have things that start at $100. So just think if she opened a box and it had jewelry in it, you'd have at least 2 weeks worth of happiness. So come to Klein's this Christmas. She's going to have a great Christmas. If you do, don't go to the mall or the half price sale. Come to Klein's. It's going to be the best deal in the city of Houston.
No doubt. It is filthy how much money I saved when I went to Klein's. Mark, tell them how they can get a hold of you, buddy.
Give me a call. I'll quote you the price over the phone. If it's not the best price, don't buy it from me. 832-316-1388. 832-316-1388. Or check us out on KleinsJewelry.com. We're located at Westheimer and Fountain View. I've been doing this since 1990. Obviously, I'm going to do it right.
There you go. We'll see you Friday. That's Mark Klein, Klein's Fine Jewelry. This is ESPN 97.5. We'll be back right after this.